Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Great things planned for you. But if you're listening in, as many of you contact me, said it may be our first time, Pastor Joe, I want to introduce you very quickly to some of the most wonderful people that you will ever meet in your life. And they're going to be your family. And I hope you'll be with us each and every week and follow us through the week. You can share our program with anybody you want anytime during the week. So first of all, let me introduce you to our co-host team that God's blessed us all with. I'd like to start with Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, a theologian, a great guy. You're going to enjoy meeting him. And he loves Christmas season, too. And he's another one like me that needs to hear everything Stephanie's going and Rob are going to teach us about tonight on how to stay healthy during Christmas.
That's right. That's right.
All right. And also, Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen, a former Top Gun pilot and trainer, and served people for years and still serving people with his wife and his life, everybody who knows him. We love and appreciate Rob and Nancy. They're a special part of our team. So Rob and Nancy, great to have you. We're going to begin a whole new season. Can't wait for all the good things and the wonderful people we're going to meet together.
Well, we have special needs, of course. As you know, so
right, that's right. That's why we're together.
And, yeah, but
friends, if you're listening in and you're perfect, you probably won't want to listen again. But if you really enjoy your life and you love the Lord and you know God's got a plan for you, you're on the right channel because we're going to have a great time together. Now, here's the best part of all. Are you ready for this? We have two special people on our team, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach, and she also has helped people miraculously, body, soul, and spirit, to get in shape and to feel great about who they are and to discover, she says, the good things in life. And her husband is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon at a major hospital here, and they love the Lord, they love life, and we love them. So they're going to be sharing with us tonight how to have a healthy holiday, and we're going to launch into December with them. So all in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. All right. Stephanie, Craig, love and appreciate both of you, and we're so glad you're here. It's all yours. Would you share with us tonight? We're excited to hear what you've got to say.
Ladies first.
Oh, good. I was going to say, I want to go first. So I want you to know we put on our Christmas fest for you. He has the chemical tables in Christmas, and I have chilling with my gnomies on. So we want to get in the spirit. So you said something about being perfect. And if you're perfect, you know, don't show up here because we're not perfect. It's always a journey. And, you know, if you're a believer, that's true, right? There's some new thing always. And it's the same with health. We could all be healthier in some area. And most people think, oh, it's just exercise or it's just food. And although that's a component, there are so many other things that make you healthy. Spiritual, financial, relational, mindset, environment, right? And so usually weight, overweight or underweight is a symptom of emotion or trauma or stresses or those sorts of things. And so unless you learn about yourself in the process, nothing really changes. And so one, it's really my favorite part of what we do. So we help people get healthier. And yes, of course, we use nutrition and we encourage you to move and all that. But we give you one-on-one coaching and we take you through habits. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, because nobody wants to be on what people would say a diet, which a diet just means how you eat, or highly restrictive in life, right? It's really about finding some balance. And unfortunately, we never meet perfection. So fortunately, as one thing happens, you'll notice, oh, there's this other piece that I should be working on. And so it's really fun to work with people kind of through that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. The things I get to see her do when I come home, the conversations and the crying and the...
Lots of crying. Good crying.
It's missionary work in some way.
Yeah.
To keep people healthy.
So you don't have any Halloween candy to share here tonight, or...
I don't have Halloween candy. I do, although if you want to talk about food for the holidays and that sort of thing, I do have some really easy ways that you can swap things out. First of all, if you really want to enjoy Christmas and Christmas Eve, go for it. I mean, you know every house is going to have See's candy and all this stuff, right? That's really not where you derail yourself. Most people are like, oh, it's December, so every meal is not wise. That's where you get yourself in trouble. I mean, you could really pig out for a day and a half and you're probably not going to do that much damage. But if you want to mix it up or you want to try to keep it healthy, I know, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, no.
So a lot of times, you know, people like pasta. People love pasta. It's really easy to switch that out with a spaghetti squash or a zoodle or butternut squash. A lot of stores already have those things ready for you. You can Pinterest it. You can reach out to me. I can tell you how to make it. That now is a vegetable instead of, you know, quick starch. Same with rice. Cauliflower rice is really popular. You can find it at almost every grocery store. And even if you say, well, I still like the rice. Okay, well, half and half it, right? So your bowl is half rice, half cauliflower rice, plus your topping. You feel like you get all this food. You do get the volume. You snuck veggies in there and you are still satisfied. Sort of the same with baking. Sugar, a great substitute for sugar is monk fruit or stevia, 1-to-1. I know somebody's going to get really upset. You can cut the butter in half if you want and switch it to applesauce. Nobody will even know. However, if you switch the entire recipe, the butter, what it calls for, to applesauce, people will notice. So you can only get away with cutting it so much, right? But there's lots of little tricks and tips out there that you can really, you know, enjoy grandma's fudge, but maybe it has monk fruit in there instead of the sugar, and then you aren't actually doing anything.
Grandma's fudge. What a concept. We just received
it. She loves fudge.
And this has no nutritional value whatsoever. What's up with that?
I know, but it's delicious. Ah!
My dad's homemade fudge.
Oh, so sugar on the subject of fudge, which we know how much sugar is in fudge. It's 16 times sugar, more addictive than heroin.
Yeah.
How many?
16 times.
I got a whole box.
So if you look at the study, it stimulates the same area of your brain, and people don't realize it's in our lunch meat, it's pickles, it's in
Yeah, if the product says it's low fat, they replace the calories with sugar.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of fat, but you're getting more sugar.
Low-fat fudge.
But yogurt's probably the biggest
low-fat fudge.
Now,
I love that we're talking about health and you're eating fudge.
I know.
I couldn't help
fudge.
That.
Well, fudge it then.
Okay. And buy 2-pound boxes of cheese candy.
I'm sorry. We just
had to. You know what? Sometimes it's worth it, and fudge usually is worth it, so that's okay, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now, could you explain more, Stephanie, about the cauliflower rice? Because I guess I've never heard of it before. And does it taste different, or what's up with that?
So cauliflower, so if you were to make it at home, you could bake it and then, you slice it up and bake it. And then you could almost like pulse it in a blender. It doesn't really have taste. It takes on the taste of the spices you've given it. But you can buy it. I mean, Costco, Safeway, Trader Joe's, they all have it ready to go and you just microwave it. And so it's going to essentially just take on the flavor of the sauce or the meat or whatever you're using with it. And cauliflower is a cruciferous vegetable. huge fiber. It's really good micronutrients. It's great for you. And so if you have children that don't like to eat vegetables, you could just like sneak a little in. They probably won't even know because it's white. Looks like rice.
We could do that to adults here, couldn't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. Here, maybe.
I have done it to adults.
Make sure I go to the bathroom first, or I'm in another room before you do that.
All right.
So I don't know what you're doing.
There you go. So there's no after effects is what you're saying.
No, I don't want to know. I don't know. If I have to see it, I don't know.
Ironically, poop is a popular topic in health coaching, I have to tell you. Sorry, Paul.
That's okay. I just had a question. Is the cauliflower and the rice a one-to-one exchange, like one cup to one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you could do it at, you know, a cup of cauliflower is going to be 25 calories. What's a cup of rice? 300 or something? So if you wanted to go crazy on cauliflower rice, you're going to just stuff yourself, you know, with the volume before you'd ever really match the rice.
So maybe I'm confused here, Stephanie. Now, I'm thinking to myself, there's some little gremlin that's going to take pieces of cauliflower and cut them into little rice pieces. Is that not happening? Or do you actually have cauliflower rice that comes in a bag or what?
Yeah, so Costco must have those gremlins. I don't know, whoever does food production, because it comes...
If they're little elves, this is...
Elves are fine. Elves work for me. Yeah.
And so it comes already. It's a very similar consistency to rice. That's how it comes. Yeah.
Okay. And then do you boil it like rice or something? Or
the ones we have used in microwave. Because if you boil it, it's going to maybe get gooey, you know? Sure. I don't want gooey rice. Do you?
Okay, no. So you're recommending like that rice. Cauliflower rice should be nuked better than boiled. Okay, good to know.
Sorry. You don't make it like
what
rice.
What kind of
it's
spices would you want to like put in something like that?
Okay, so my favorite, if I make it at home, I guess you could do this with a prepped one. I love adding cilantro into it. It's really good. So one of our favorite go-tos at home is just Mexican food buffet. Everybody likes it. So our kids would have tortillas. We used to like make a fajita salad out of it. But so we could take the cilantro rice and I just make like a burrito bowl out of it, essentially. Mm-hmm. But I would use that and I would have cilantro and lime in the cauliflower rice. But I guess it just depends what you're making. Like we will also make sort of a meat spaghetti sauce with elk meat. Elk is really lean. Really high in protein.
Very good.
That's if you haven't tried it, go to a butcher and try it. It's excellent meat. And so then I would just take that homemade spaghetti meat sauce and put it over the cauliflower rice. So I wouldn't even add anything to the cauliflower rice itself. So you can literally just use it as an exchange for whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, John said to use a tool called a ricer, and it's good for mashing potatoes. Yeah, and I know some people that half mash potatoes with cauliflower. It's a healthy version. It's never going to be the mashers. Mm-hmm. So if you do it, just accept that there's a compromise.
Yeah, and interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, my oldest daughter sent me a recipe for some special smashed potatoes, but she mentioned the ricer, and I'd never even heard of it before. So she sent a picture of what this ricer thing is, and I thought to myself, well, this is kind of an interesting torture device, for the fingers or something, but I'd never heard of it, and I guess that's something that it must be more popular than I realized.
I've never seen it. I'm looking it up as we speak.
Good. Yeah, it's a metal thing. It kind of, I guess you have to press it together, or I don't know.
Do you have some kind of
and magically.
The key is staying away from the carbs, right? So trying to replace the carbs with something that's not as carbohydrate loaded.
Yeah.
It's still good.
More nutrients.
You know, they do make, instead of buying a corn or flour tortilla, they do make cauliflower tortillas, and they actually are pretty good when you bake them right.
Yeah.
And they make jicama tortillas, which don't taste like anything. I know. Who knew, right? All these new things are coming out.
Oh, I know. You know, I'm just thinking, like, different ways to make a cheeseburger, but you know, you guys are obviously on a different healthy plane than I am.
Okay, no, so we like the
elk burgers. There
that's
we
right.
go.
Or burger. Yes, I was going to say, so right. elk is really lean. Yeah, so we do a pound of lean ground beef and a pound of elk and mix it together because elk is so lean it'll fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
And
good.
That's how we make
elk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our, I mean, we have teenage boys. We have burgers in this house.
Yes.
Yeah. I forego the bread, but that's a personal choice because it just doesn't make me feel good. It's mm-hmm. not that the bread is a no-no. If you're trying to lean out, you probably don't want it, but bread's not horrible. There's just other things that have more nutritional
ketchup,
value. So it depends on your goals.
Yeah. Is yeah.
So where do you find your elk?
Yeah.
You know, do you hunt and get your own elk or do you buy it as
we have bowl? Friends that hunt.
There
we have friends
go.
That hunt, and so if we're lucky, we get it from them. Yeah. But also, if you go to the local butcher, a lot of them will carry it. Yeah.
I just wonder, speaking about hamburgers, yeah, speaking of, that was getting hungry. Think about that, guys. It sounds good.
I didn't mean to bring it up.
Yeah, is ketchup bad? I mean, don't put ketchup on it. If you just, sometimes I just like some kind of potato or rice with a nice beef patty lean. But then I put ketchup on it. I don't tell anybody, but now you
well, know. I hope to God it's not a Heinz ketchup, if you catch my drift, and I think you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, is that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Democratic.
Sorry about that. Yeah, go for Heinz.
Is that bad stuff, not good for us to tank? Or?
I have good and bad news. Listen, there's a reason we all like ketchup so much. It's almost all sugar. That's amazing. Don't you remember kids, you know, they take the fries and there's like more ketchup than French fries?
Yeah.
So it's just a personal choice. I will have ketchup with my burger. I will have ketchup with fries. If you need to be aware of your blood sugar, if you have a certain goal in mind, if you're not where you want to be physically, your labs aren't where they are, you probably should skip it. But that's what I like to talk about is balance. I think a lot of people make columns of this is always bad and this is always good. And that's just not a way to live life. Mm-hmm. We are communal. I know it's ironic given that we're in COVID time right now, but we like to be together and it always centers around food. Notice it doesn't matter how small a kitchen is. It's where mm-hmm. everyone ends up. So to think that you're never going to enjoy or really want the tasty thing, it just sets you up for failure and it's not realistic. I just, I think we have very different philosophies than a lot of people would say of like, you will never eat these 20 things again in your life.
Well, how's mustard compared to ketchup? I'm a big mustard guy.
Mustard's amazing. Yeah.
That's because zero calories.
Good.
It depends.
And onions.
Some of them are maybe have some other things in the mustard, but French's yellow mustard has zero calories.
Okay. And Grey Poupon, maybe?
See, I am a condiment. No condiments on any of my burgers. None of my nothing.
And nothing I
don't like ketchup. I don't like mustard. I don't like mayonnaise.
Nothing I do will change her.
Nothing. It's like,
and
how do you season
it? I'm a plain Jane when it comes to my food.
And I'm a mustardian.
Pardon? What?
Do you season it?
Oh, yeah, I'll season it. Salt and pepper. You know, I'll put a piece of cheese on it. And maybe once in a while if I have an A1 steak sauce, but nothing like no mustard, no ketchup, no no relish.
Sorry.
I'm very like
I know. I just
I'm very like I grew up as a very
I think spicy.
Eater.
I have no words.
I think spices are really
not this time. I'm so sorry.
Spices are underrated too, you know. A lot of restaurants and a lot of people think for food to taste good, it's got to have a lot of fat or a lot of sugar in it, which is why you'll see butter used all the time. There's certain things that restaurants do, like truffle oil. That's really, really flavorful. It's actually a cheap trick to do. Well, the oil's not cheap, but it's a way of getting around not knowing how to make good food.
Right.
If you start to use spices well, your food will taste amazing. And you can just start with a few good ones or get a couple blends and try them out. It changes it drastically. And there's no calories in spices,
mm-hmm.
right?
You said Cheap Trick. I love that band, by the way. Robin Zander, Bun E. Carlos on drums, and Ricky Nielsen on guitar. Great band.
Paul!
Sorry.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys.
Come in here anytime you want. You know.
Just taking the
right.
Ask her about what we used to eat in college, Paul. When we used to barbecue, what were those things called? Ask her about those.
Joe and our family, we would have the greatest barbecues. We'd have one piece of bologna, one hot dog, a Boston butt steak. We'd throw that on the grill, thought we were, you know, just dying in pig heaven. Yeah. But it all tasted so good. Condiments, who had those? You know, you just ate it. You know?
Yeah, or condiments.
And you ate it. That was great. I do remember there was a move. This was back, Joe and I were in college, but way before the turn of the century. As we would get together as college students, our families, my food budget, I remember my wife and I, our food budget was $7.25 a week. Yeah. And we lived a lot on box dinners and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Kraft macaroni, anything we could
What's
do.
The new stuff?
I remember one time they tried to sneak bean sprouts in on me.
Yeah, ramen noodles.
Spaghetti.
Ramen noodles back then.
That didn't work for me, you know. Chinese spaghetti. It's not happening.
Eating grass.
Steph, I'd like to ask you a question. I mean, nutrition and weight loss and et cetera. And I heard you make an analogy or a comparison a while ago about weight loss tied to our emotions. You know, a lot of obviously. This season, the Christmas season, absolutely, and given the COVID situation. But during this time of the year, people's emotions are really at the bottom. And a lot of negative things happen physically, emotionally, spiritually, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little tough to stay kind of healthy through that time, you know, healthy eating and stuff like that. I appreciated what you had to say. I just have a question. If once we kind of work hard on getting in touch with what's going on emotionally on the inside, and Tank, you could dive in here too, because I'd love to hear your opinion about if a person is really getting determined about wanting to lose some weight, what's a healthy goal for a person that doesn't have extenuating circumstances like diabetes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know myself, I had a heart attack 6 years ago, and that alters your food intake and different types and things like that. So given a person who's kind of like in good general health, what would be a good goal to keep in mind, after we get through these holidays, you know, perhaps? But can you give us some insight on that? You know, what's going on, you know, weight-wise, emotion-wise?
Yeah, so there was a lot you said in there, and I think that mental health, especially right now, is very, very serious. Our lives are out of control, whether we want it or not. Anxiety was the number one thing I heard before COVID stay-home order, and it's elevated. People are emotional. I mean, I've cried like 5 times this week, if I'm being transparent, right? I don't think anyone is immune from processing this in different ways, right? With that said, I always do free health assessments with people. People's goals are different. How active are you? Do you prefer to eat a certain way? Are you sleeping? What is your energy? What is your work like? A lot of people, you know, don't get breaks at work, or teachers, they can't go to the bathroom. So if you tell them to drink a lot of water, they're not going to be able to do it. You know, there's different challenges with that. But I am not a fan of BMI. It's a measure. I'm not a huge fan of the scale. Now, it tells us something. I always encourage people to take measurements of themselves and look at pictures over time. But they say for health, for preventing heart attacks, things like that, they say women should have a waist under 31 inches and men should have a waist under 37. That's probably the best measure you could get. Now, obviously, this guy's a foot taller than me, so maybe you'd give a little variation for that. If you're a little peanut of a human, maybe a little bit less, right? But that's, I think, that's where he could probably speak to this more, but that's where the really dangerous fat is stored, is in our belly, adipose tissue, and that's a predictor of a lot of health issues. Mm-hmm. And really beyond that, it's personal preference. And there's the other side. People that undereat or have eating disorders often have similar emotional and unhealthy relationships with food to people that are overweight. They're actually quite similar. And so I would also say that, you know, if you're wafting away or someone is concerned about you or you don't have a little something to squeeze somewhere, you're probably underweight, right? Mm-hmm. That's also a serious concern.
Yeah. Now your measurements, Stephanie, are they based on age or just in general?
Or height.
Or height, or yeah. Because I'm a big believer in not paying attention to BMI too, because I used to lift a lot of weights and my BMI was like out off the charts, and you know, I wasn't obese, and yet that BMI index thing showed that I was. And I thought, well, this is dumb.
Yeah. I think, and that's why you talk with people. I always ask them what their goal is or what they think would be helpful for them. And some people are pie in the sky, like it's ridiculous. I was this weight when I was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Maybe not realistic.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's healthy for them is a morbidly obese weight. And I will say, you know, you're a woman that's 5'4". If you think 250 is healthy for you, you're still going to have a lot of those same medical concerns. Mm-hmm. I want you to take a more serious look at where you're at, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's very different. And, with the emotional stuff, Paul, like it's actually, there's a lot of good ways to lose weight. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a million things out there. Mm-hmm. 95% of the time people gain it and more back because all they did was be really restrictive for a period and not actually learn about themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the harder work. A lot of people don't want to learn about themselves. We all want a magic pill, right?
So you go back to what you were doing before you're
getting I've heard people talk about, you know, the big thing for a while was the keto diet, et cetera.
Right.
Then I heard on the other side, that just may be a bomb waiting to go off, you know. So could you address that? I would like to hear about
that. Sure. It keeps me busy. So the keto diet is a diet that was used for pediatric kids with seizures. Your brain obligately burns glucose. When you go to a keto diet, you have no glucose in your system. And so your brain has to switch to ketones. In old school, you knew you were in a keto acid burning phase when your urine smelled like fruit. Mm. So that is a high fat diet and a high protein diet with no carbs. Mm. That high fat, a fat in itself is inflammatory when it gets into your bloodstream. So the higher the amount of lipids in your blood, the more inflammatory things that go up, cardiolipins, things that cause heart disease. So one, it's not a great diet for your heart. Two, it's a horrible diet for your gallbladder because it wants to contract. And if it's got stones, you're going to squeeze one into the tube and it's going to give you an acute gallbladder and you get to see me. So this is a great time of year for me to see people with acute gallbladders and have to have their gallbladder in it. So from keto diets. The other kind of biochemical, I mean, I was blessed to be a biochem major for my undergrad. So I've seen what the body and how it runs at a molecular level. And then you go to med school and you see it at an organ level, followed by a pathophysiology level, how that system all breaks down and goes wrong, right? So cortisol is a hormone produced by the adrenal gland. The adrenal gland also produces epinephrine or adrenaline. Fight or flight, you know, you're nervous, you're upset, it's going to be firing. It causes the burning of muscle to produce glucose, which is really inefficient, and you lose muscle mass. So you lose muscle that's burning calories when you're just sitting there. And those are your engines. The more muscle you add, the more you burn calories when you're just sitting. If you work out in the morning, it's going to burn a little bit more throughout the day. So that's why a lot of people want to work out in the morning. It also makes you store fat. So what you really want to do is not a complete fat burning diet like keto. You want to do a gentle fat burn, which is And this is the best way to do it. You never want your glucose to blip up because that's what makes you hungry. So you eat 2.5 to 3 hours, small amounts.
All day long.
And it's probably about 1,100 to 1,200 calories if you really want to burn.
If you're losing weight.
But it's got glucose in it. It's got protein in it. You want to eat a product that's got all the micronutrients, all the vitamins and probiotics. You want all those things. That's usually what most diets lack, is that they forget about the micronutrients, your vitamins, the probiotics, and now you're malnourished from lack of nutrients.
Which is why it's often hard for people to do it with food. You know, you're going to have to either calorie restrict or exercise more to have a deficit if you want to reduce your size, right? And most people aren't good at doing it with food. And so a lot of times you'll see that they have other problems as they're losing weight because of that. And keto, it drives me crazy because people see huge results with keto, which is why they keep doing it. But they're focusing on their physique. I know we care much more about your insides. If you feed and fuel your body properly on the inside, your organs are going to respond, your lab results are going to respond, and your physique will respond. Doing just one at the risk of trashing your body, you know, at the risk of making enemies here, you know, a lot of those IFBB pros that do bikini and muscle stuff and all that, you know, the last 6 weeks they eat tilapia and broccoli. That is not a good healthy plan for your life. They look better than I will ever look in my life. That is not healthy, right? Like, so we're looking for balance and overall health and also enjoyment, like grandma's fudge. You're going to have grandma's fudge.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. I remember back, you know, 30 odd years ago when I was paying attention to things like bodybuilders and everything, they would achieve a state of ketosis, which meant that they had burned out all of their, I guess, fat and however their body chemistry.
No more carbs. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's where the keto diet probably came from, where, you know, you had no body fat. And so the body was burning muscle or carbs, whatever was in there. And I never thought it was healthy, but at least those people were taking steroids, right? So that's healthy too, right? Yeah.
Paul, I wanted to say one other thing about your question. So for me, I've gone through the same program and so has Craig that we coach with. I've never been a big person, got a little soft and pudgy and whatever, but I think I would probably have to try to be large. And I have had so many clients now, and some of my largest clients barely eat. They do not understand. And what they've unfortunately done is they've completely shut down their metabolism. So you can have the opposite problem. You get a 400-pound patient, and you think they must be eating 10 hamburgers a day. And they have one meal a day, and it's 200 calories. Well, your body is in survival mode, and so it takes all of that, and it is storing it. It's storing for winter, like hibernation, right? And so those people, when we work with them, they think they are stuffing themselves, and you're giving them like 1,100 calories, you know? So it's really interesting. And the other cool thing with right now is the food portion that we use, it comes right to your door. A lot of people don't want to go to the store right now. They're nervous. And what about supplies? And, you know, I know all the toilet paper is gone and stuff. And so that's kind of a relief for some people too. If it matters to anybody.
My oldest daughter, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm sorry, Rob. I'm just curious. Can you address probiotics and what are their purpose? Sometimes, you know, you look at a bottle of probiotics that says 15 million, blah, 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 blah. And then you look at another one that says, 700,000, you know. What should a person look for? And what's the importance of probiotics? You know, how do they function? We hear a lot about that.
Okay, so your colon has a bunch of different bacteria in it, and they're fighting each other. There's a balance. And when you get put on an antibiotic for surgery, or you have an infection, or you're stressed, that milieu can change. And there's one that's horrible to you, which is Clostridium difficile, which then invades the wall of the colon, causes ulcers, bleeding, inflammation, sometimes death of the colon, perforation, all these bad things. And so if you don't keep that balance, if you take Protonix, which is a hydrogen blocker for preventing ulcers in your stomach, that somehow promotes Clostridium to take over. And we use it on critically ill patients because when you're stressed and your cortisol level's high, your acid's going high, and those people do have ulcers that bleed or perforate. So we put them on Protonix, but then we actually found that we're making them more prone to Clostridium if we put them on an antibiotic for pneumonia on a ventilator, whatever it's for. So that probiotic is food and other organisms in that keep your colon populated with the right bacteria. And I don't think that there's a dose that's right or wrong. And I'll tell you, if you get C. diff and it doesn't respond to the oral or IV antibiotics, then you get a stool transplant. I think we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Until we talk about poop. Yeah. So here's the thing with probiotics too. You can get it naturally in foods. So any fermented food. So you could think pickles, sourdough bread is fermented. Sauerkraut, kombucha, which is really popular. A lot of some yogurts, there's a few brands that have really good probiotics already in them. And then also you can take a supplement. And gut health is really, really important. I mean, that's what I said, I talk about poop a lot. When people tell me they go every 3 days or they can barely go, you should be going every day at least once, and it should be very easy. That usually indicates something's off with the bacteria and or your hydration, right? It's really important. And especially if you've gotten off antibiotics and stuff, you need to get that back into your body.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That is, it's all interesting. I don't want to hog the thing, but there's just so much that I'd like to know. I promise my last question. Can you address the leaky gut syndrome? Can you tell me? I've heard about that as well. Can you talk about that a little bit? What that is?
When people are in shock or they're stressed, sometimes the bacteria that are within the colon can translocate, meaning they can go through the wall and then get into your blood and make you sick. Okay. So that's called a leaky gut.
Leaky gut.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, but you got to be really sick for that to happen.
Okay. Got it.
Doesn't sound good.
I sure appreciate that. Thanks. That's fine.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's that helped. You don't even know what we used to do in surgery to try to prevent that. But
yeah,
you know, if you had to operate on somebody, we put tubes in the colon and rinse them all out to get the bacteria out of there. And that didn't help.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. So that balance of the good bacteria, bad bacteria, you just kind of want to keep it.
It's very important.
What are some of the symptoms that would tick, that would sort of pique your mind that something's not healthy going on in there with the bacteria?
Yeah. So the intestine is a bizarre muscle. So it's a big long tube, right? So you got your mouth, throat, esophagus, stomach, small bowel, large bowel. And so they all squeeze like in a wave. If you ever saw a snake eat, you'll see that rat's moving down in a wave. So our gut does the same thing. So when the colon becomes inflamed, so it begins by the wall getting thick because it's being attacked by the Clostridium. And then as it gets real bad, the surface, the inside, sloughs. So now you've got an ulcer that bleeds. Those two things will cause like crampy abdominal pain, almost like a labor pain. So the pain will go up as the wave goes through that contracted area of inflammation. So the pain goes up, and then as it goes beyond it, it starts to go back down, just like a labor pain. Or you can just have bleeding. So some people just don't have as much pain, but then they have bleeding. You can get obstructions, so you get real bloated and things aren't going through from the inflammation from the colitis. So those are the
Okay, so the colitis and then diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis is a colitis.
Okay.
You know, the old tubes in the tire, when there's a bubble, that's a weakness. That's exactly what your colon can do. And so things rattle around inside of that, and then they get pissed off and they get more swollen. They can bleed, or the swelling can increase and cause a narrowing and blockage. But it's a different kind. So usually it's popcorn or different vegetables like nuts that rattle around in there. So we recommend no popcorn, no nuts.
Gotcha. No popcorn, no nuts. Okay.
That won't happen.
Good.
That's sad.
Yeah. Thanks for
I love explaining the pathophysiology thing. Like, I don't know why some of my other colleagues don't learn these things. But it's like, hey, it's so simple.
Usually he draws us pictures, and I'm like, and I do that. Grade level. Keep
you know
it
the
simple.
White paper you have to sit on in an exam room? That's my drawing board. I'll frequently draw on those. And my office lady, Amy, tears those off and has a collection of them. She'll probably give
them. I know out there in your guys' part of the country in California, you know, it used to be, maybe it still is, liposuction was a big way to lose weight. Or somebody, I guess, plugged a needle in and they sucked out all the fat. And all of a sudden, magically, without even trying, they lost 30, 40, 50 pounds. And I thought, that's great, except is that really good for you? And are you going to have to keep doing that or for the rest of your life? Or what's up with liposuction?
So it's a quick fix. You know, it takes away fat cells, but you still have fat cells. So as you keep, you didn't change the original problem that caused this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not just overeating. Overeating is a symptom of something else. Mm-hmm. Some depression, something in your life, post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Could be happy.
Hormones, something, right?
Whatever.
So you need to figure out why and how you got there. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
So that you don't do it again. But yeah, you still have fat cells. So though you have less, they still fill up just like all the other ones did as you eat the way you did before and you get fat again. So.
And I have a public service announcement to all the ladies. I think the data is something like 1 or 2% of women do not have cellulite. Whatever you're seeing as an image is not realistic. We were meant to have bodies that child bear. We are meant to be more voluptuous. Look at
and
what we have
are.
Our parts.
Amen.
Yes, and so if you have a nice butt, you're probably going to have a little bit of cellulite. Just accept it and love who you are. I hate this, you know, goal for something that just is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great.
And guess what? Your partner will love you no matter what. They don't care.
No, and some of us guys might be voluptuous too. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know the men's statistics, but I know the women, and it's you have cellulite.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. That's good to know.
And then, you know, out in your land and probably elsewhere, you've got all this Botox stuff and the lips that get thick and the faces that end up, you know, looking like horrible.
Don't work. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all externals. What's wrong with their insides? I don't understand
There's
these things.
Something wrong with them inside because of that.
I would think so.
Yes. And some of the most beautiful women I have ever known are the ones that get those things excessively. And then all of a sudden, they look weird or not themselves. Really? I don't mean that in a mean way. But yes, where they have so much whatever on their face and they've taken away who they are for whatever reason. Our society is saying, you know, don't age in a beautiful way. I'm sorry. Have you seen the woman that has this beautiful silver streak in her hair and she's gorgeous? And yes, she has a couple of lines on her face. Who cares?
Well, exactly.
Like, rock it. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's big on the celebrity circuit, I guess. They want to be eternally young. And you know, you're 80 years old. Come on, man. You know, this is not working good.
You can be a rocking 80.
Yeah.
There's a beauty there. Right. There's a beauty there. Yeah.
I will. And I'm kind of bashing plastic surgery a little bit, but I will also say that I have known people that were so insecure about the size of their breasts or not having hair on their head or whatever. And if it consumes that much of your time, then there probably is value in correcting that. And it's a nice gift if it gives you that self-confidence. But oftentimes what happens is it's a pattern and a behavior, which then goes back to what's the emotional, why do you need 10 procedures or whatever? That there's more there. You will never have the right amount of procedures to make you feel good about you.
That's
not what it's about.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with that. You know, there are people that, you know, maybe their nose is like this and they never felt pretty and straighten the nose out. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but procedure after procedure, trying to find perfection or look like somebody else, like another movie star. It's like,
there's more than something wrong in your head.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all heard about this lady, and I think she's in California, who wanted to be like Barbie. And so she's had, I don't know, 25 or 30 or more, plastic surgeries, and now she's completely, I don't know what she is, artificial. And, you know, what's she like on the inside? And what drives her to be that way other than external looks? You know, and that's one of the things that has always bothered me. It's, well, you know, we kind of focus, all of us here, on the internals. And yet there's so many people that are focused on the externals. And the externals are so fleeting and so short term.
And I've earned every one of my wrinkles. I truly have. You know, it's a life well lived.
She never had any until she married me. But I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence.
And I will say,
a life well lived.
That's why people want, you know, bariatrics or a pill or whatever. Mm. And it's seeking this. And you know what? We all want to feel good. We all want to look good in a certain way. But, you know, a non-believer wouldn't understand this. But if you're a believer and you look at the story of Esther, right, and what she asked how to prepare herself, and all these women are beautifying themselves with all the perfume and all that. She was listening to wise counsel. And so she came very natural. And guess where she found favor, right? You are a wonderful person. If you genuinely love and care about people, that is going to make you so much more attractive than any product or whatever out there, right?
Yeah. And I don't think Esther cared about how she looked in the bikini. Maybe I'm crazy there, but, you know, I'm going Old Testament here on us. I don't even think
was trying to survive.
Well, it's probably leather, right?
Yeah.
Hey guys, we got like 3 minutes, and then I gotta share one last thing. This is so exciting, so interesting. We're gonna do this a lot. Go ahead, just give me a little word in there.
Well, go on, Steph. Keep telling us how to be healthy.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't eat fudge. Don't do liposuction.
Be happy.
Okay, and be here's happy. What I want to switch to, because I think this is really relevant for right now. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say happy, because I think a lot of people think they need to be happy all the time. That's just not really true. I think contentment, I think choosing each day that you are going to find the beauty or the good in it. You know, when you're having a really hard time and you need prayer, one of the best things you can do is pray for other people, right? Mm-hmm. How good does it make you feel? You get filled up. Same thing with random text messages or calls or however you do it to people, just telling them how amazing they were. You know, I'm emotionally taxed right now. I'm not liking that we're going back to this lockdown. I am struggling with it personally. And one of my beautiful friends this morning, she just knew yesterday I had a hard day. She sent me her devotional out by the beach and said, "You aren't alone. And I want you to know that I love you. And this is about being still." And so you just know. One simple, she was already doing it. What did it take her? 30 seconds. One simple thing to love on someone else. And I think right now, the more we can try to be positive, which is a choice to not engage, that person is wrong. Do you need to prove to them that you're right? Or are you just going to be loving and gracious and kind? And I think that goes really, really far right now. And we have no idea what other people are going through on the other side of things.
That's
right?
True.
It's hard for everyone.
Yeah. And imagine people being human to each other. I don't even know where to begin there. We have kind of a lot over the last, several years, if not decades, you know.
I mean, I was just going to say, you know, it's the whole COVID, that's another hour, but the COVID is real. It's caused us to be kind of Psalms 23-ish, you know, the shepherd. I've got everything. It's time to slow down, still water, not running, quiet, reflect. Green pastures, etc.
Which is hard.
But it's hard. And the people are coming up on the biggest season of family, friends, gathering, love, joy, you know, parties, tradition, and that's not going to happen safely.
Yeah.
So COVID is a disease of obedience. And it's about being selfless, not selfish. Because it's not about us. You guys are strong. So you get sick, but it's giving it to someone, the meek, that have all the diseases that are listed that your mortality is higher for. So Mm-hmm. So it's about not bringing it to those people. And we've already seen a case where a couple with COVID got on a plane with their kids, knowing they had COVID, and they were arrested for reckless endangerment. You're going to see manslaughter cases where people are just ignoring this as if it isn't here and it's not a problem. And they go give it to someone old, and that's murder.
And I want to say different areas of the country are very different. Some are super exposed, some aren't at all. I don't think we can make blanket statements about things, but it's the same. Being kind to someone, if they're not comfortable and they want you to wear a mask, it's not that hard for me to do it for a couple minutes. I'm going to take it off as soon as I'm done, but I'm going to be gracious to them, right? So it's the same concept, but right now we want to be right about everything, and that is affecting our health, our mental health.
Yeah. And that's something that I think all the medical people, not you guys, but have been leaving out: the stresses, the depressions, the suicides, and all the things that have been going on for the last, I guess, 9 months now. Nursing home
patients. Those are bigger implications. Yeah.
Women between the age of 30 and 45 have a 6-time higher suicide rate right now.
Yeah, it's very depressing. Moms, sad.
Kids can't go to school. Mm-hmm. They feel trapped. They don't know how to teach. No, I mean, her biggest job for 3 months going on was just teaching how to assess how to homeschool your kid, what your options are, and stuff like that.
So there's a social cost that's been paid that the medical people haven't paid any attention to. And I think that's resulting in a lot more
it's a separate thing.
Casualties than the actual COVID itself.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say we have students. We're probably a year and a half behind as students. We need to talk again on this because there's so much happening with students and everything. We're in the middle of something all around us. And Tang, maybe you could. We just bring you back and do this again soon and cover that. Listen, this has really been interesting. We sure appreciate and love you both. We're so thankful to God that you're part of this team. We really are. And you're just a blessing. And we're going to think about those things you said. I'm going to pray real hard about fudge. And just like
pray, just ask for some and you'll get it.
Yeah,
we'll throw it at you.
I'm being a little bit light for a second, but let's try to remember the important things that we've learned tonight. And we got some great things we're going to share with you all next week. And I'll share a couple things I was going to do tonight. We'll do it next week. So tune in again next week because we got some exciting things coming just for you. In the month of December. And Stephanie, and thanks. Stephanie, real quick, give them your website again. I've got it, but they'll get it if you say it.
Sure. Wellness with Steph, STEF.com. Wellness with Steph. You can find me on social media under that as well.
Mm-hmm. Y'all get that? If you don't, go to our website because we got it up for you. It's right on our website. You can find it. All right. Well, boy, our time ran out. Who keeps moving that clock forward? Rob, I don't know who's doing this, Paul, but. We're so thankful for being with you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight in our new season of Raising Expectations. We're excited. We've got some great things coming next week, so don't miss it. Next Monday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Standard, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock on Central Time, and 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And as we sign off for you tonight, we want you to know we care about you. We invite you, because we'll be blessed by you, to be a part of our family, the Raising Expectation family. And we'll ask God to help us raise those things, those expectations together from all we learn. God bless you this week. Listen to, think about, care about those people around you, as Stephanie and Tank shared with us. And allow God to make a difference. Because in another person's life, because you spent 60 seconds maybe telling them something good, God will give you the words. Raising Expectations. We'll see you next week on behalf of everybody. We love you. We appreciate you. Can't wait to see you again next week. Have a blessed and a great week. Until then, thank you.
There you go.
Bye, guys.
Love you, guys.
Next week.
Thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.